All right, good morning, guys. So thank you so much for coming. I do appreciate it. Do appreciate it being the early session as well. So I know it's an effort to actually get out of bed and be here and do all these things. So I do want to talk about determining critical success factors for ongoing adoption inside of Yammer. So it will be a fun session. It is 20 minutes and it is really packed. I just want to let you know that. My name is Naomi Moneypenny, and a lot of you guys already know me, I think, probably from the various Microsoft Tech communities and other places too. I am not going to spend time introducing myself. My email address is on there, and you can find me on lots of social media as part of this too. I'm going to begin with the tale of three customers, because I do want to talk to you a little bit in terms of what kinds of adoption factors I've seen have really worked inside of different organizations. I've implemented Yammer for the last 6 years now at literally hundreds of different companies, and literally probably have at least 1 million users to my name, basically, for actually putting this stuff in. So it's kind of some of the case studies that I've seen basically over the last year or so. These are kind of the types of companies that I've worked with. So I wanted to sort of give you three examples here. We've got a big bang. So in the spirit of Ignite, we have a big bang. We have a long fuse kind of adoption cycle that went in as part of it. And then we also have a tinderbox, right? So it's just thinking about how these things really got started originally. So a couple of things I wanted to mention here. So in this Big Bang scenario here, it's a global consumer packaged goods company. So they were actually putting this stuff in for the first time. They had a new CEO that was coming into place. And basically, we had a 90 days to go live type of date. And as you guys know, basically putting in Yammer is very easy from a technology perspective, right? It's basically, you know, switch on a few things inside of Office 365. The biggest part is really all of the change and all the adoption tactics that go as part of that. But the new CEO really wanted to encourage basically corporate agility. And so obviously Yammer really lent itself there in this case. And so some of the success factors that really worked for us there in terms of adoption was to really have a high touch, high visibility champions program. A champions program you're going to need regardless of whatever kind of implementation you do. But having that ongoing implementation is really important of your champions program. And then really looking at how we interviewed stakeholders. We spent a lot of time going out to the different business units to understand some of the collaboration scenarios that they were working with, because we really understand how people are going to use this type of technology. One of the biggest struggles I see with Yammer is people try to implement it for completely the wrong reasons, right? So people try to put it in for, you know, Facebook type of reasons, right? We'll just need a social network and people just connect and whatever. If that is your goal, please do not implement Yammer, okay? I'm just going to unilaterally say that. If you do not have a goal for that, if you don't have a goal of a very specific collaboration scenarios that you want to show as a win, if you want to show something on an individual basis, a team basis, a process basis, those are the scenarios you need to go after. If you try to do it just for social networking inside of the company, you're basically, it's not going to have the ongoing adoption that you really want to. And people have a hard time transitioning that kind of technology. The other example I wanted to show you here is this global chemicals company. It's a chemicals company we all know and love. And so it's one of the areas for them was really looking at kind of a grassroots effort inside of the organization. So it was one of those things where it's kind of bubbled up, right? They started a Yammer network, they had a free Yammer network, and eventually somebody in IT finally noticed, right? So that there's something there. And it's okay, oh yeah, now we need to get legal involved. We need to understand, you know, how we can really drive this and understand it as an enterprise system. So for them, it's really that grassroots effort. And IT was actually one of the organizations there that was really leading that charge. So usually I've seen in a lot of companies where it's actually IT who's kind of on the back foot a little bit in terms of implementing with Yammer. But in this case, IT was also underway with a change itself. And so it was one of those things that they wanted to do as well. And so what really worked for them from an adoption perspective was doing this stakeholder engagement to really help float this up the different levels. If you think about change management, oftentimes we see this inside of organizations, right? It can be top down, it needs to be bottom up, it needs to be outside in, and then inside out, right? And so you have to have all of those elements as part of it. When you're talking and engaging with your stakeholders, it's incredibly important to do that. And then we really had to emphasize private groups. And it's because this global chemicals company was actually a very conservative organization. You guys feel like you work for a conservative organization, right? Yes, exactly, a few people. So one of the emphases for them was legal was really worried about misposting different attitudes in terms of Yammer. And so, you know, really sort of, okay, we want to ring fence this as much as we can. So we did a lot of stuff in private groups, right? Which is inherently not the greatest case for Yammer, right? We're really trying to do transparency across the organization. But actually just doing transparency within a business unit was amazing, right? So it actually worked out very very well there. So we did a very long fuse kind of implementation there. It was really looking at how you can actually put these private groups together inside of an organization, but actually then demonstrate how things work from a legal perspective. So the last one I wanted to talk about here was this Tinderbox. And the reason I called it this is because it's not Tinder as a company, but it was a similar kind of company, a hardware device company that we all, again, know and love, based in Silicon Valley. And so for them, the biggest issue that they have with collaboration tools is basically enterprise ADD. Okay, and so enterprise ADD is a real condition. I just want you to know that, right? And so as part of that, it's really looking at all these collaboration tools, and they always want to try all this new and amazing stuff, right? So there's like, okay, we're in Silicon Valley, we should be trying the latest and greatest and all that kind of stuff. So one of the issues for them was understanding, how do I get value out of Office 365 and that whole Yammer suite as part of it, right? And so we really want to think about the integration of Yammer and a lot of the things that we've seen at the conference so far in terms of how does it play into that value perspective. We want to look at how we can do basic best value tooling for collaboration scenarios inside of the organization. And so for in their case, with this sort of Silicon Valley type of company, actually the legal department was a big advocate of using Yammer, right? Because they actually realized it was one of the few technologies that they could use that had all these security controls, had the records management type of controls that they were looking for in terms of the integration into Office 365. So it was actually a good sort of modality for them to work with as well. The other aspect to this was understanding, again, from a collaboration scenario perspective, to really do experiments on a rational basis. Again, I see this in a lot of different organizations where people will just come in and they'll try a technology just for the sake of, oh, you know, we'll just try it and see how it goes, right? If you do not do an experiment to test something rationally, all you will do is wind up getting random results, okay? Do not sling in a technology willy-nilly into your organization just to see what happens, because that gets us into the world of shadow IT and all these other things. What we really want to do is think about what results do we want to drive from an experiment of putting in this new tool. So really, inside of our organizations, our goal is to have collaboration as a cultural norm, right? This is what we're looking for in all of our organizations. But the only way we can really drive towards collaboration as a culture is to really think of it in terms of productivity as an actual business process inside of the organization. And so that's kind of one of the big issues that I see. People don't treat productivity like a real process. They treat productivity like a thing of like, oh yeah, we just want to be sharing more and collaborating and knowledge management and doing sort of, you know, nice things inside of our organization. If you don't treat it like a business process with specific outcomes, specific goals, specific metrics of doing things, you will never get the achievement that you want, right? Makes sense, right? It's one of those areas. It's like if we don't treat it like a real process, knowledge workers are really getting a lot of this process metrics now. You've seen some of the enhancements inside of Office 365, right? You saw My Analytics that shows you what you're spending your workday on, right? You're getting a lot more data about how people are actually spending their time. And one of the reasons we want to implement Yammer is to save time, right? To save time inside of the organization, but also to increase the speed of decision making. So if we think about productivity as a business process, then we can really think about how we can outline what success looks like and what we want to be measured on as part of that. All right, I'm going to change tack for a second and talk to you a little bit about what not to do, right? Because we learn a lot more from other people's failures than we do oftentimes from the success stories that they have. So there's a few things that I want to mention. So if you guys are just starting out in Yammer, anybody just starting out in your implementation journey? Okay, a few folks. All right, that's good. All right, so welcome to Yammer. Thank you. But I want to make sure there's a few things that you should know. First thing, as I mentioned earlier, don't please just sling it out there and see what happens, okay? If you put it just out there and see what happens, you're basically a bad country music hit that's about to happen, because there is only chaos and heartbreak down that road, okay? If you just sling it out there, that's really what happens. The other aspect to this is basically ostriching. So I see this done a lot. I see that a lot inside of IT, where people basically ostrich and like, if I just don't look at it, maybe it'll go away, right? Or, you know, it's another corporate endeavor in terms of this too shall pass, right? If I just keep my head down, this too shall pass. Well, it doesn't, right? And so we know that this category is definitely here. We know that enterprise collaboration networks are a thing that will actually happen inside of your organization. So please don't just ostrich it and hope for the best. The other thing that I really want to mention here is making sure when you're first starting out, do not switch Yammer on and invite people into the organization inside of Yammer without having any kind of a usage policy. I really want to make sure that you have a usage policy in place day one, even if it's just pilot, even if it's just inside of IT, even if it's just a few users. Please have a very basic usage policy, at least in there, to tell people what they can do and what they can't do. What are some of the guidelines? What are some of the rules? What is it? What content should people not discuss? You know, if you have union workers at your employer, is this something that you can ask for from an employment perspective and say, do we want unions to be allowed to promulgate on there? Do we want to allow Bible study groups on there? Right? You have to make those decisions on things, right? Do that early. Really do that early. Don't switch it on just to play around with it. Switch it on when you actually can tell people what they can and can't do as part of it. Because one of the issues we have with this kind of technology, it is a viral technology, right? Very hard to close the barn doors basically after the horse has bolted on this stuff. So please make sure that you're doing that. All right, so when we're first trying it out, so we've sort of gone past the, okay, we started, you know, now we're just kind of trying, you know, what's some of the stuff that we should really do? One of the issues here is I see people trying to do isolation type of events as part of this. And so, well, if we just ring fence it to these few users, or we'll just start out with, you know, 10 people or 12 people or one team or something around that, we really want to make sure that that sort of viral adoption program is actually part of it. But we want to understand, again, those use cases ahead of time. If we don't have those specific use cases to go after, then it's really, really difficult for us to, be able to influence and guide the network later on. The other aspect I see here is this basically using incentives that are not aligned with your business, okay? Now everybody's guilty of this. It's like we try to do this from a corporate communications perspective, whereby we say, okay, well, if people will post on the network, you know, the network's very quiet at the beginning, and say, well, we'll incentivize them. We'll say, okay, you know, if you post 5 times, we'll give you a $20 Starbucks gift card or something like that, right? You see that a lot inside of networks. Please don't do that, okay? Please align it with things that actually matter to your business. The reason I say that is because people get into the habit of working for your $20 Starbucks gift card, and that's the only thing they want to do. So if you only want people to post for, you know, silly incentives, that's what happens. Even if it takes a long time to ramp up to conversations that are really useful in your network, take that time, right? Don't incentivize for things that don't matter inside of your organization. Please don't do that. I see it a lot. All right, the other aspect here is that once you get a little bit of momentum on your network and some conversations are going and people are like, what's going on in my network? I need to know what's going on. They spend a lot of time analyzing what's going on in the network. They kind of wallow in analytics and statistics. And if only we had better metrics, or if only we had better understanding of what was going on our network, somehow it would be inciting what we could do. I want you to really think about engaging. Every minute that you spend looking at stats instead of engaging in your network with collaboration scenarios is a minute wasted, right? Think about driving people in there. Think about driving collaboration scenarios. It's not that not knowing analytics or statistics about your network is not important. It is important. But when you're first starting out and you're trying this stuff out, we really spend a lot of time engaging with different populations and finding those collaboration scenarios that work inside of your organization. Don't spend too much time looking at stats, right? There's people want to do this all the time. All right, next one, when we're actually looking from a scaling up perspective, right? Here are some of the things that I don't want you to do. It's kind of an important list here too. So once we have a little bit of success with Yammer, we forget to keep marketing this stuff, right? We wanna make sure that we can keep marketing what we're doing. We keep having those success stories, but we're then building them out, right? We wanna make sure that we keep moving up and out, basically, with our success stories. One of the biggest examples, obviously, inside of your company is to say, hey, we have this success story with this one small business team, and then we want to replicate that type of advice across the organization. Make sure you keep doing it, because oftentimes when the new and shiny wears out, people sort of lose that hype and they want to make sure that they're actually making this happen. So we really want to think about it. It's kind of like a fashion trend, right? It's one of those fashion trends that goes from being a trend to just being basically de rigueur, right? Everybody's doing it, and it's one of those things. We want to have that same kind of implementation happening with Yammer. The way you do that is to keep marketing it over and over again until it becomes mainstream, basically, inside of your organization. Another thing here is basically our little DeLorean picture here to help you don't let time stand still, right? You really don't inside of your organization on your Yammer network. We really want to have that great adoption happening in one area, but then we need to keep escalating it with stakeholders, right? We need to keep influencing the network around it and basically scaling that out as part of it. People oftentimes do that. They have great success in one area and they say, well, this business unit's using it. It's really fantastic. And then the rest of the company has no idea what's going on, right? So it's those. So next one is in terms of understanding from time and resources, the things that you do for success. So until cloning happens, basically, we're going to need a champions network, right? You're going to have to incentivize those champions as part of it. We're going to have to identify them a lot by what it is that they're already doing on the network. But we also know some of those folks inside of our organization already. We have to have that champions network, and we have to keep promulgating that champions network inside of the organization too. It's really important to do that. And then we want to look at the success measures and some of the business process integration opportunities. So as you're scaling up and basically you've gone through this and then you keep manifesting that success multiple times, we want to make sure that we have this champions network growing and growing and growing as part of it. So we want to really do this stuff, as I mentioned, for the right reasons at the right time. I will always tell you not to implement Yammer or an Office 365 collaboration technology unless you're one of the areas that you're really looking at is a specific use case that you know what success looks like. If you just sling it out there and see what happens, I really don't recommend that approach. Sometimes it works occasionally, but most of the time it doesn't. And all you do is ruin it for the next time when you really want to implement, right? And so it's one of those things. So it's better to just wait and hold the time. Sometimes you know from a cultural norm inside of your organization when it's time to actually implement something. If it's time to hold back, it's time to hold back, right? You can sense it. You know when that happens inside of your company. So one size really doesn't fit all, right? We have a whole range of opportunities inside of the Office 365 collaboration stack, whether you're using Office 365 groups in the form of groups experiences in Outlook, groups experiences in Yammer, and other collaboration technologies. So we really want to make sure that we're giving choices to our users and giving them some guidance around those choices as well. We've tried the one size fits all before, right? You remember when we said one corporate system and thou shalt put everything in SharePoint or whatever it is, right? That's what happened. That's what's happened to Shadow IT, right? Shadow IT just went, that's how Yammer and all these other viral technologies got created, right? Was the business user ending around. So we can't have just one answer, right? We've tried the one answer thing. One answer thing doesn't work for the business. What we have to do is give them options, but we have to really think about influencing and guiding those options as part of it. So in terms of Office 365, you've seen these slides, I know, this week already, in terms of looking at all of the different collaboration solutions. We have to really think about how we map these collaboration technologies to what it is that we're trying to do inside of our business. Because again, the biggest work we have to do is understanding these collaboration scenarios. How is it the teams need to work inside of your organization? How do they want to work in the future of your organization? So we want to look at those growth scenarios of how people work. And it's different, right? It's different for different business processes. It's different for business units and departments. We want to look at those collaboration scenarios and then map from those the features and functions that we're looking for. And then from that next level down, we really want to look at the tool set that we're applying. Because if you don't understand what you're aiming at, it's really hard to experiment and put a new tool in place. So we really have to understand what is it that we're aiming at so we can understand which collaboration scenarios we're planning from. It also then lends itself to understanding what it is as IT has to deliver as a collaboration service. So if you're owning that service delivery inside of the organization, you want to be able to say, this is not a vendor strategy, right? This is not, oh, we went with Microsoft and, you know, ATT or whatever as our vendors. A collaboration strategy and a vendor strategy are not the same thing, right? We really want to make sure we understand that. We have to understand what scenarios matter inside of your company. So I want to help you to analyze a little bit in terms of collaboration scenarios and how you go there. And so I've got this little framework here. And one of the things I'm going to deliver to you next week, you'll see that I have a link at the end for this. There is a white paper that will go into lots and lots of detail about this because I can't pack it all into 20 minutes as much as I try and try hard to do this, but I can't. But I just wanted to walk you through this kind of this adopt framework here. And so we're basically going to articulate our collaboration scenario. We're going to basically map out the different elements of that that collaboration scenario and think about how we can break it down into pieces and then look at some of the behaviors that are part of that. Because this is all about influencing user behaviors, right? We're not trying to force new behaviors on people because of tools. We really want to think about the behaviors that we want to drive inside of the organization and how we augment those. Then we were going to look at how we can dramatize this scenario, because making sure that we're understanding from a storytelling perspective, as well as not, I don't mean to make it overly dramatic, I mean to make the story and the narrative so compelling to people and understand what resources they'll need. And I don't mean money and time and such, I mean the tip sheets and the videos and the implementation guides and all that stuff that they need inside their business. So we need to understand that from a dramatization perspective. Thirdly, it's the co-ownership. Because one of the things about implementing Yammer is it's all about working with those specific teams and those collaboration scenarios, right? So you're always co-owning. Your success comes from their success, right? And so that's part of the network model there. So we want to make sure they understand what ownership means. What does it mean when you start a group, right? What responsibility do you have? What responsibility do you have for mapping out that scenario and all those other elements as part of it? The other aspect here is understanding basically our plot for success, our milestones, our timelines, everything else that's part of it. Again, if we don't put success measures on things, it's very hard to judge what's going on, right? And I know it's hard work. I do understand it, right? As I'm going to give you a lot of examples on how to do this in the white paper. And then the last element here is basically transferring it, because we want the business to own this stuff, right? We want to transfer ownership to them. We don't want to have to be in charge of the collaboration network. We don't want just the community manager to be in there. We have to really think about how we're transferring ownership and demonstrating that success as part of it. So one of the great ways to do that is to think about how you're implementing Office 365 inside of your organizations right now. And so if you think about deploying Office 365, it's a great use case for using Yammer, right? And so one of the areas there is understanding how we can actually create communities of interest inside of your organizations. You think about using Office 365 maybe as a first release type of program. There's a program inside of Office 365 that basically allows people to have access to those early features. And you really want to think about, okay, how can I really thoughtfully deploy this inside of the company? Because I'm going to need to build an ongoing champions network, right? Because Office 365 is continuous deployment, right? It's always going out there. We always have new features and functionality that we want to absorb into the business. And as IT, we can't do that, right? From an IT perspective, we don't own all of those changes. We own the service change coming in, but we don't own all of the changes in Power BI or the PowerPoint desktop application, right? We can't possibly know about all of those things. So think about turning on first release for selected users inside of your organization. Think about creating a champions network as part of that, and then have basically peer-to-peer communities of interest or practice for those different areas in Office 365. All the business analysts who are super excited about Power BI, right, and they want all the new functionality and play with these huge spreadsheets that they enjoy doing. Have that community created inside of Yammer. It's a great way to put people together. It's a great way to basically help IT is enabling the business and has a community model around this, and then think about leading that technology as part of it. So when we're deploying this technology in a continuous incremental cycles all the time that we're having inside of Office 365, you really are leading communities as part of that. All right, I'm going to finish off here in terms of looking in terms of process integration, because this is the holy grail in some ways, right, as we get into our collaboration networks and what we're doing. We really want to think about how we can integrate it into our business processes. And it's very hard to think about that initially. We look at collaboration scenarios and we say, okay, you know, we can make this team a little bit more effective, and we can really think about how we can, you know, structure that arrangement, how they're working right now. But the next level up is to really think about what decisions are critical inside of your organization. What is the informational value that is required in that decision? If you have a decision, a key decision that's happening inside of a business process, how much money would you pay basically to get better information into that process, right? Because a lot of the collaboration scenarios that really drive top line growth inside of your company are all around understanding what those informational advantages are. And again, when you're first starting out with Yammer, this is really hard, right? It's really hard to envision this place where everything happens in Yammer and we're having great collaboration network out there, but we're looking at specific information flowing through a process and how we can accelerate that, make it more agile inside of the organization, as well as understanding what we can do to influence it. And so there's a couple of examples I just wanted to work through. So when you're first starting out, as I mentioned, the continuous release cycle of Office 365, right? It's a great place to start in terms of creating communities and having peer-to-peer support communities inside of your organization to help you deploy that, help people get used to using the technology as well as being supporting each other. The other aspect to this then is as you're scaling out is to think about maybe in your organization, if you have procurement, if you have supply and distribution networks, think about how those folks communicate together, what business processes they have, because we can actually look at how they make decisions inside of the organization and help to understand how we can make that faster or better or accelerate it in some way. We really want to think about how we're coupling that viral network that we have inside of the organization to make things go faster and more agile and how we can actually incorporate it as part of it. So I've worked with a lot of manufacturing companies as well as customers who are in the supply and distribution kind of area. And oftentimes there is a lot of opportunity there. It's kind of amazing. You know, people will have inventory left over in some other area and another part of the business could use it, but they never really connect together. And there's never going to be a corporate program that says, can you use this waste product from over here and put it into something else, right? And so it's one of those opportunities to connect for people together inside of Yammer and then actually say, hey, maybe we could actually do something as part of this inside of our company. So I see a lot of those. The other aspect obviously is in terms of traditional communications processes. So how's that changing? How does your executive leadership want to engage with your employees, right? Do we want to have a process around that to make sure that we're actually engaging with our employees and making sure that they're having those conversations that actually could be growth processes for the future? And we want to, again, do that in a very specific way, in an enlightened and thoughtful way. The other aspect is really the project management process. So if you think about project management inside of your company, one of the steps that you have in there is probably to understand how a team is going to work together, right? You'll have a way of how to run a meeting, how to run a project, those kind of things. Make sure you have your collaboration team scenario as part of that project management process. One of the great opportunities is to say, hey, can you fill out this little sheet about your project management process? Talk about it on Yammer in terms of what's going on, what projects are going through the pipeline, and then look for similarities in there, right? I've worked with the European Union, right, which is a very slow kind of organization to work with, as you can imagine, basically a coalition of governments to come together, right, and actually looking for opportunities there where you're actually outlining what projects are going on in lots of different places of your company, and then actually bringing those ideas together so people can see what other people are working on, right? It seems so simple, but it's like it really isn't, right? But when you look at this stuff and you're like, okay, this is a great opportunity, and then make sure that you're actually then incorporating it as part of your project management process. And then lastly, as you're really scaling out, we're going to look at how you can couple some of the intrinsic network effects in terms of Yammer into your growth processes. So think about what you're doing in research and design, research and development in engineering and other aspects of your company. And think about, again, how do I put agility into that process? How do I implement Six Sigma or continuous improvement as part of that process? Because Yammer is a great way to do that, right? Having a collaboration network inside of your company is a great way to think about how do I make incremental innovation more advanced inside of my organization. Okay, so just to finish off, I have a few resources here. My blog is out there, naomimoneypenny.com. I have a bunch of stuff on Yammer already, but the Adopt framework, and then I have a playbook that basically outlines three case scenarios, each of these collaboration scenarios for each of those three customers that I mentioned. So you can see exactly how to break these things down and the resources and all that part of it. And so I will have all those resources out there. Should be next Tuesday at this point. So just going through all my heinous typos that I make all the time when I'm writing things, but it'll actually help you to outline these things, because I really want people to be able to implement this again in a very thoughtful and conscientious manner inside of your organization. The other aspect I wanted to introduce you to, in case you're not familiar with, is the Fast Track program that Microsoft has. So Fast Track is a great opportunity for all Office 365 customers. It is a free program. You should check it out. It has a lot of resources in terms of, you know, posters, scenarios, other adoption tactics, Champions Network, all kinds of things that they have out there for you to check out. And then it also has things like migration resources. So for the other parts of your Office 365, it's definitely a great resource as well. So I want to say thank you so much, guys. I apologize that I have to do this so quickly. You can always find me on the Microsoft Tech Community. I know a lot of you from there already, but it's always part of that there. And the Tech Community, if you haven't joined it, techcommunity.microsoft.com. And I'm always posting on the Yammer Network as part of that. So thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate you coming here.